Welcome, foolish mortals, to another spine-tingling episode of Pretentious Internet Theater. I am your host, Andrew Cook, a man so leet, I only accept trick-or-treaters by Facebook invite. And those who have not been invited by Facebook, they get white chocolate. Because we all know that's not really chocolate now, isn't it? So, I've scared up some spooky stories for you. In fact, it reminds me of a quote by Octavia Butler. My problem with fantasy and horror and related genres is that sometimes the problems are illogical. That probably relates to some of the stories we'll be reading this evening. Just a reminder, kitties, you can trick or tweet us at PitPodcast on Twitter. You know, what a lot of people don't talk about with this evil holiday is the generosity assigned to it. Of course, I, being as elite as I am, make the children work for it. They have to knock on the door and say trick-or-treat. They have to be dressed in elaborate costume, or at least in a costume, because some children enjoy wearing street clothes and expect candy for it. And they have to say thank you. They may get a little extra generosity thrown their way, a couple more treats. I wish to offer such treats to you, but you have to work for it. To the next 5 people that email me at thepitpodcast@gmail.com with a link to a story they would like me to read, and with their address, I will send them an archive disc of Pretentious Internet Theater. You will have a cornucopia of episodes that I consider amongst my favorites. So, without any further ado, let's get on with our spooky stories. Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents Halloween Frogstown Dororo and the Haunted House by Dragonsfire 18. Halloween Frog Style, one shot written by Kiel and adopted by Dragon and Chi-Chi. Disclaimer. We do not own Sergeant Frog Keroro Gunsu. In fact, we own nothing. You happy now, you dumb lawyers? Author's note.
Dragon, hi! For those who don't know me, I'm Dragonfire 18. I share this account with 4 other people. Kyo, my wacky best friend. Chi-Chi, the group's cute and evil genius. Ray-Ray. Smiley, the geeky, nerdy psychopath. And Shinri, my awesome boyfriend. We pretty much only write Inuyasha stories, but today we are re-writing this one because Kyo asked us to. Chi-Chi. Sergeant Frog is the second greatest anime ever after Inuyasha. My favorite character is Kururu, because evil genius is rock. Dragon likes Kiroro because he is constantly tortured, and everybody likes to watch torture. Kyo likes Dororo because, which is why he is the main character of this story. Probably because she loves ninjas. Rai Rai likes Kiroro because he's the main character. And Sinrai likes Tamama because he is cute and ultra-powerful. An amazing combination, I must say.
Dragon.
Anyway, Kyo isn't here right now, but he wrote us on paper and gave it to me in math, so we're typing it up for her. Please don't judge us if we epically fail. We don't often write these.
Chi-Chi.
Please try to enjoy and review. Oh, and sorry, we didn't know why this is a Halloween fic in the middle of winter. Pretty random, but that kind of reflects our inter-randomness in that sense. Enjoy!
Sarge, I don't know. I think maybe we're too old for trick-or-treating this year. It's kind of a child's thing, isn't it? Fuyuki sighed as he lifted his skull mask onto his forehead. Nonsense, Master Fuyuki. Tonight is the night that all the planets unite to salute the evil spirits that haunt us while at the same time we mock them, dressing up in silly costumes. How is that childish? Kiriro laughed as he pranced around the circle. He had a pair of fangs and an awesome purple cape. Don't forget the candy, Mr. Sergeant, sir. Tamama laughed happily as he joined in with the green frog he idolized. He's wearing a sheet over his head with cut eye holes. Celebration is truly idiotic. Kiriro grumped with a sigh. And why do I have to be the fairy? He yelled. The green frog was wearing a pink tutu and a pair of glittery fairy wings. I guess Halloween's kind of fun as long as it keeps you toads out of my way. Natsumi shrugged as she came into the room, wearing a particularly skin-tight cat costume. Kiriro's nose started to bleed. Ah, let's go, let's go, let's go! He yelled, pulling on Fuyuki's sleeve. Hold on, neither Momoka nor Koyuki are here yet. We invited them too. Fuyuki shrugged as he had picked up his new occult book. Why, I don't want to wait! Tamama cried as he opened up superspace and dashed through. Everyone stared blankly at the space, thin air, when all of a sudden it opened back up, and this time Tamama jumped back through, pulling a half-naked Momoka by the arm. Yeah! She screamed. She noticed everyone staring at her. To being lent a fluffy bunny costume from Natsumi, oh, where she has a spare, I don't know. Momoka began to beat up Tamama with an inflatable carrot.
Q-Q-Q! This would be the perfect opportunity to invade Popoken! I have invented a laser that makes evil spirits come alive. Q-Q!
Kiriro laughed.
Wait, that's not candy!
Tamama evil mode screamed as he began to wildly shoot his super rage breath at the yellow frog, knocking him out.
Tamama, no!
Kiriro snapped while him and Kiriro tried to hold back the ferocious tadpole.
You guys!
Came the shrill voice of Kiyuki as she burst through the hole in the floor, startling everyone into stopping what they were doing. Kiyuki, you're late. You're not in costume, and please stop bursting through the floor. Natsumi snapped once the situation sunk in.
Sorry, I hope you will forgive me. Just I need your help.
Ninja Girl cried as she hopped out from the hole and began to hug Natsumi.
Kiyuki, stop!
Pink-haired girl squeaked. Kiyuki let go and turned to the four frogs. Dororo has been acting strange, and I'm worried. You guys know what's going on or what I should do, the girl ninja asked concertedly. Tamama and Kiriro shrugged and went back fighting, but Kiriro and Giriro exchanged wondering glances.
Can we go see him? Kiriro asked.
Koyuki nodded with a big smile. Maybe you guys can snap him out of it.
Doro, 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 Doro.
The blue ninja frog mumbled repeatedly as he sat in the corner surrounded by more negative energy than normal. Maybe he's still upset about this incident that one time, Kiriro whispered to his red friend who nodded.
Only one way to find out for sure,
Kiriro replied with a shrug.
The Haunted House.
Kiriro hissed right near Dororo's ears.
Do they have ears?
The blue ninja froze suddenly before beginning to tremble and mumble faster.
Yes, it is the incident,
Kiriro nodded.
Oh, just tell us what the incident is already.
It's a misspelling of incident. Natsumi yelled as she grabbed the green frog by the head, holding him to eye height. Is he going to be okay? Kiyuki asked concertedly as she held Natsumi's arm.
It all started long ago. We were tadpoles. Me, Giroro, and Zeroro, Dororo, were friends back then, too. It was on Halloween night in those early years.
Flashback.
Yeah, I got lots of candy. How about you, Kiriro?
Small Kiriro asked excitedly as he uglied his big eye he had on his head.
Yep, tons, see? The whole bag's almost full, the red tadpole answered as he pulled off his fake antennas.
Wait up, guys, Zororo panted as he ran to catch up.
We can fit in a little more. Let's stop at one more house,
Kiriro declared excitedly as he began to run down the path, closely followed by his friends.
But, Kiriro, it's getting dark. We have enough candy, let's go home, Zororo reasoned quickly.
Kiriro stopped and looked at the sky, which was getting gloomy.
You're right, Kiriro nodded.
Aw, he's just being a baby because he's scared of the dark. Ha!
Oh, well, I'm going to get more candy, the stubborn green tadpole sneered as he ran to find a new house.
I'm Koiming too, I'm not a baby, Kiriro called as he began to run.
Zororo hesitated as he watched the sky begin to darken, but with a whimper.
Even borrowed his friends. Wow, this is like the ultimate house. I bet they give tons of candy here. Kiriro cried excitedly as he began to jump up and down and look the large hill toward the gigantic old house. But Kiriro, that is the abandoned house. Everyone says it's haunted. Kiriro informed as he had turned around to leave. Perfect. Then that's better than candy. What's cooler than Halloween than a haunted house? Green Tadpole cheered. But what if the ghost comes for us? Zerudo trembled as he pulled off the bat wings from his back. Then we get eaten, Kiriro made a funny face and a scary voice. I don't want to get eaten. Let's go home, please, the blue tadpole pleaded. Either come up with us to the house or you're not our friend anymore. The green tadpole crossed his arms with a smirk. Poor Zerudo, with tears and eyes, followed his friends up to the haunted house. Well, aren't you going in? Gerudo asked his green comrade. You first, the green Caronian answered sheepishly. No way, I'm not going first. Gerudo shook his head frantically. Maybe we should just go home, Gerudo asked. Hopefully. Kiriro gave some thought to this before dragging Kiriro off to the side and whispering a plan to the red tadpole's ear. No, Kiriro, that's way mean, Kiriro hissed. Come on, it'll be hilarious, Kiriro snickered. Hey, Kiriro, you go first. We'll be right behind you. Kiriro called as he opened the unlocked, creaky old door. Bebot, but I'm scared, Kiriro, please. I just want to go home. Little blue tadpole whimpered as a tear fell down his cheek and he wiped it away with his hand. Be fine, be a big baby, but we don't be friends with babies, Kiriro laughed as he sucked his thumb, mocking baby. I'm not a baby for fine, I go.
The blue tadpole trembled as he carefully tiptoed into the big creepy house. Suddenly, bam! The big door slammed shut behind him.
No, let me out! Let me out! Help, please!
He screamed as he banged his little fists on the big wooden door.
Bwahaha! That was hilarious. I bet he wet his pants. What a baby! Kiriro laughed hysterically. Come on, Kiriro, let him out now. That's enough, Kiriro argued as he listened to the terrified cries coming from inside the house.
Please let me out, Kiriro. Please, I'm scared.
Zoro sobbed and hiccuped. His medical mask soaked with tears. Kiriro sighed. Party pooper. He shook his head in Kiriro's direction. Went to open the door. Giving the handle a pull, first the door did not open. Giving a much harder tug, he put one foot on the door for support. Kiriro began to pull too. Snap! Suddenly the handle of the door snapped clean off. Kiriro stared at the metal knob in his hand. Kiriro peered over his shoulder. Let me out, please, came another desperate sob. Kiriro, the door's kind of locked. We will go get help. Kiriro called through the door. No, don't leave me here, please, I'm scared. Kiriro cried as he banged harder on the door. Don't worry, we will be back soon, Kiriro called as he began back down the hill, happily ignoring the desperate cries and screams from his friend. So, who can we get to help? Kiriro asked as he caught up with his friend. I don't know, let's just go home. He will figure out a way to get out somehow. Kiriro shrugged as he grabbed Kiriro's arm and began to run. Help, please, somebody! Came the muffled, terrified cries of the innocent child as his only two friends abandoned him in that haunted house on Halloween night. End flashback. Well, that's all I know, because after that I went home and took a bath, Kiriro finished. Everyone stared at him in disgust. How could you do that to your own friend? Fuyuki asked Inhawa. Yeah, that's Sue mean. Not that I care, but still, Natsumi added. You're a horrible friend. Momoka angrily shook her head. You wasted an hour of candy-collecting time telling this stupid story, Tamama sulked. I'm sorry, Dororo, but that was a long time ago. Gonna forgive me? Kuroro asked. Kayuki smiled warmly as she placed a warm cloak over her Alinin ninja friend. Must be horrible to be trapped in a haunted house on Halloween, especially for a small child who didn't like the dark. And your friends were so mean for leaving you. But Kuroro's right. It was a long time ago, she comforted. Hey, so what actually happened that night? How did you escape? Kuroro asked. Kuroro lifted his head, staring at Kuroro with a blank and empty look before lowering it again. I still remember it, as if it was yesterday. Just after you abandoned me, Kuroro began.
Flashback.
The young ninja sat with his back to the big wooden door, his head in his hands, he sobbed quietly. It had been almost an hour, and his friends had not returned to save him, and he had given up hope. Every noise, whether it was wind outside or just the squeak of a floorboard as a mouse, an alien mouse, ran across the room, made him jump. But he didn't dare look up. For it had been about midnight when he built up the courage to peer out the whole house around him. It was too dark to see much, but a moonbeam through the window allowed him to see a set of old stairs and a few doors. I wonder if the ghosts in any of these rooms, he mumbled, as he remembered Kuroro's words. Then we get eaten. I'm not in any of those rooms. There might be monsters in there, came a soft voice. Zoro's head shot up. Trembling with fear as the little tadpole turned his head towards the voice. The house is too scary at night, came the voice. Then a pair of eyes shone out from the shadows. Frozen completely in sheer terror, Zoro began to wet himself as the creature emerged from the darkness. My name is So-Pee-Pee. And you just did. No one ever visits. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Asked the creature. And she had a light yellow symbol on it that resembled a bunny's face, the same marking as her stomach. The only difference between her and a normal tadpole would be that she was translucent. Tears built up in Zoro's eyes. She began trembling again, and she watched in horror as the dust particles of the moon, Bem, floated right through the little girl. Tears began to flow freely down the little blue tadpole's cheeks, as he thought back about Kuroro's words again. Pee-pee, please, please don't eat me. He whimpered, too petrified, too even more, let alone run away. So Pee-pee's smile turned into a frown. Please don't cry. I didn't mean to make you sad. I just want a friend. No one ever comes here, she whispered. Could I please sit here? Asked the timid young So-Pee-Pee as she approached a table with her lunchbox. No way, loser. Go sit under a rock. That's where you belong, baby, sneered the orange tadpole at the head of the table. All his friends began to laugh. At So-Pee-Pee turned to leave, tears rolling down her face. Look, it's that baby. Let's make her cry, called a voice as So-Pee-Pee was walking home with her umbrella. Suddenly a rock smashed her in the back. Suddenly spinning as she got an Aoithia rock in the face, running as fast as she could, the little pink tadpole dashed home, even though we established already in the story that she was light purple, and locked the door tight behind her. Still hearing the thuds as sharp stones hit the wooden door and within a I was too scared to leave because they would always hurt me. I didn't have any friends and my family had abandoned me at a very young age. All I've ever wanted is someone to visit me, So-Pee-Pee whispered as she kneeled down a few metres in front of Zoro. Be but be, ye are a g-ghost. The young boy shivered as he wiped Ari a strange tear from his face. A ghost? Don't be silly, there's no such thing, the ghost frog giggled. Zoro watched the little grey mouse run, throw her. Maybe she doesn't know she's a ghost, he wondered. So you're going to eat me, he asked. Yucky, why would I eat you? If it's not too much trouble, though, would you wait with me tonight? I don't like being in the house after dark. It's too scary. Please, asked Sororo, not really knowing what to do and still freaked out. Sororo nodded nervously. So what is your name? You never said, so Pee-Pee asked. Sororo, Sororo replied quietly. You know, for a boy, you're very shy. The girl frog giggled. The two kids stayed up all night together, too afraid to go to sleep at what might be lurking in the spooky house. They talked about their lives, they played ball with So-Pee-Pee's old toy ball, and play fighting with broomsticks they found around. Zoro shared his candy from Ulea that night with So-Pee-Pee, although it went straight through her and she didn't seem to notice. They laughed and played, and before she knew it, it was morning and the two were friends. It's so pretty, Soapy gasped, as her and Zoro watched the sunrise, together through a dusty old window. Yes, it's beautiful, Zoro agreed. Thank you for coming here to visit me, Zoro. You're the first friend I'd ever had, and it'd been the best time of my life, Soapy smiled as she grabbed her new friend's hand. Zoro blushed a little, but held her hand back all the same. Zoro, she asked after a few moments, the blue tadpole turned around at his friends and almost gasped. She's beginning to fade away. Oh, better the burnout. Thank you, she smiled with a wave. She disappeared completely. I guess once she's made a friend, she didn't have any regrets that kept her here anymore, he sighed. He felt his eyes started to grow wet. This time, tried to fight back the tears. Suddenly, a door swung open with a clatter, and a gust of icy cold wind blew, making the little tadpole shiver. I better go, too, he decided as he wandered towards the door. He stopped. He was about to go to sleep back out into the world. Goodbye, Soapy. Maybe we'll meet again someday, he called before running out the door, eager to get home to tell his story to his family.
Flashback.
Bwa-ha-ha-ha! Good one, Dororo. Now tell us how you really got out. Kiroro laughed. But that is how I got out, the ninja answered calmly, clearly fucking about being scared in the first place. You could say far-fetched. Moa smiled as she draped a blanket over the sleeping Tamama. Moa is right. I mean a ghost, really? Kiroro shook his head. Well, I believe you, and so does my friend, came a soft voice. Everyone, who was awake, turned around. They stood the ghostly figure of the girl in the basement. Everyone stared at her for a moment. Suddenly, a tadpole's face, she is a ghost, she does not grow up, popped out from behind her. Didn't think I wouldn't visit you, did you, Zoro? Soapy giggled as she stepped out fully from behind the other ghost. It took me years to find you, but I added your basement ghost on Facebook, and she told me all about you and your friends. Yeah, screamed almost everyone in the room as they saw the ghost. It doesn't matter what kind of friend you have, Dororo smiled. If it's a good friend, then they are worth hiving. So Peepy finished. They both smiled as they watched everyone else running around the room in panic. The end. Well, that certainly was an interesting story. If you're a ghost, and you're somehow listening to this program, you can add us on your Facebook page by looking up Pretentious Internet Theater and become a fan. A ghostly fan. Let's just move on. Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents Goku Against Freddy by Bill Sayers. Chapter 1. Freddy is back in action. It all started with a young boy by the name of Son Goku. He was 15 years old and a great martial artist. Not very long ago, Goku had saved the world from an evil warlord named King Piccolo. Now, Goku is on vacation in the United States with his friends Bulma, Krillin, Yamcha, Pua, Oolong, Master Roshi, Tien, and Chao Tzu. The group stopped in a small town called Springwood. There were no children or teenagers in the town, just adults over 30 years of year, and there were not that many of them. On a street called Elm Street, all the houses were empty. Goku looked down the street. He saw a chalk drawing of a man wearing a dark gray dress hat, a red and green striped sweater, and brown dress pants. On his right hand was a brown glove with small knives on the fingers. Under the drawing was a poem. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better lock your door. 5, 6, get a crucifix. 7, 8, gotta stay up late. 9, 10, never sleep again. Goku was puzzled by all this. What does it mean, he thought. Team came to an empty two-story house at 4323 Elm Street. The house looks nice, said Bulma. Well, I guess we could stay here for the night, said Yamcha. My gosh, said Roshi as they entered the house. I've got a bad feeling about this. That night, while Goku was asleep, he had a dream. Goku was wandering around inside of an old boiler room. Chains hung from the ceiling and steam gushed out of the pipes. Goku heard a horror-able screeching voice and an evil laugh. He turned around and saw a man walking towards him. His face was burnt beyond all recognition. He had a glove with blades on his fingers, and he wore a red and green sweater. He looked up, just like the drawling of the guy on the street.
"Hey, Goku," said the man, "I'm coming to get you."
Goku was so frightened that he ran as fast as he could. Then Goku found himself cornered at a dead end. Next, the scary man appeared right in front of Goku.
"Hey, Goku," he said, "watch this."
Then he used his finger knives to cut off his fingers on his left hand. Blood gushed out of his hand as the scary man laughed. Goku saw a window behind him. He jumped through it, and he landed in the old junkyard. Goku looked around, but he saw nothing. Just when Goku thought he was safe, the scary man appeared right behind him, and he slashed Goku across the chest with his claw. Instantly, Goku woke up in his bed. It was only a dream, he told himself. When Goku looked down at his chest, there were four cut across his t-shirt. After that, Goku could not get back to sleep for the rest of the night. The next morning, Goku told the others about his nightmare. "That guy was not human," said Goku. "He loved every minute of it." "Sounds like the dream I had," said Bulma. "I dreamed about a guy in a dirty red and green sweater, and he had knives for fingers." "I had that dream too," said Yamcha. "Same here," said Krillin. "I also did," said Roshi. "Yes, the knives were on his glove. It was something that he had made himself," said Puah. "The skin was burned." "It was so hideous," said Oolong. Later, Goku was outside, walking round the town. People were all gone too. Just then, a man ran up to Goku, screaming, "He's coming! He's coming!" Then the man started to choke Goku. "You little bastard!" he yelled. "You brought him back here! You brought down on us!" Goku broke free from the man's grasp and gave him one fierce pile-driver sidekick. The man was out cold. After a few minutes, he started to struggle and scream in pain. Four cuts appeared on the man's front. Blood poured out of his wounds. He was bleeding to death. Goku was so scared, he ran back into the house, into his bedroom, and dove under his bed to hide. Underneath the bed, Goku found a book. It was an old diary. It belonged to a girl who used to live in the house, Nancy Thompson. As Goku read the diary, he found out about a man who was terrorizing him. His name was Freddy Krueger. He was a murderer who was abused as a kid by his father. When Freddy was a teenager, he develops a tolerance for his father's harsh treatment, and then Freddy slain with a razor. Freddy had killed a lot of children in his time. When his wife found out about them, Freddy strangled her. After that, Freddy was arrested and his daughter Catherine was taken away from him and sent to the town orphanage. However, Freddy had escaped trial because someone forgot to sign the search warrant. The townspeople tracked him down in the old boiler room where Freddy had worked. They trapped him inside and set fire to the whole place. However, before Freddy was burned alive, he was greeted by the dream demons. They gave him dreamscape powers, and he took his revenge on the people by killing their children in the dreams and absorbing their souls. Every soul that he took made him stronger. Later, some kids learned how to use dream powers to fight Freddy in the dream world. They had become superheroes called Dream Warriors, with Nancy's help, but Freddy was too strong for them. Another time, when Nancy was having a nightmare, she grabbed Freddy's hat off his head just before she woke up. That hat came out of the dream world with her. Chapter 2. The Return of the Dream Warriors. Goku told the others about all that he had learned. "So that's why we are no kids here," said Krillin. "Yes, and now there's no one left in the whole town," said Yamcha. "We've got to beat him," said Goku. "We've got to become Dream Warriors. We must defend ourselves." Next, our heroes used meditation to go to sleep, and they entered the dream world. Krillin became a dream wizard. Yamcha became a dream ninja. Puah became a warrior with superior speed. Bulma became a dream soldier, armed with an Uzi. Oolong became a warrior, with incredible strength. Tien became a dream knight, with a two-handed broadsword. Chaozu became a dream psychic, with the ability to freeze time. Roshi became an acrobat warrior. But Goku did not know what his special power was, so he stayed the same. However, Goku did believe in one dream power, immortality, meaning that Goku could not die as long as he was in the dream world. The team split up in search of Freddy. Freddy attacked Puah and Oolong first. Puah ran around Freddy. Freddy slashed at her. She was too fast for him. As Freddy tried to watch Puah's movement around them, he got dizzy. and Oolong picked up a 3-ton boulder and threw it at Freddy. The rock hit Freddy right on his head, and he fell. Freddy rose back up to his feet again. On both of his hands were finger hypo needles filled with poison. Freddy extended his arms, and he caught both Pua and Oolong with the needles, and he injected poison into their bodies. Yamcha tried to save them, but he was too late. Pua and Oolong were sucked into Freddy's body. "You fiend!" yelled Yamcha. "You bastard!" Yamcha jumped high into the air and hit Freddy in the face with a jumping sidekick. Then as Freddy got up, Yamcha threw ninja shurikens at Freddy. Freddy rolled out of the way to avoid the shurikens. Yamcha charged at Freddy and shouted, "Wolf's Fang Fist!" Then Yamcha punched Freddy over and over again. Then he hit Freddy with a strong thrusting kick. Freddy fell backwards with great. Freddy raised his glove at Yamcha. "Here, catch!" Then Freddy's glove flew right off his hand and stabbed Yamcha right in the chest. "Sayonara, Yamcha!" And Freddy laughed. Tien appeared from out of nowhere and drove his sword into Freddy. Tien raised his sword high in the air. Freddy was impaled on the blade. Then, finally, Tien threw Freddy down. Freddy got up again and was about to use his claw on Tien when his body froze. "Time freeze!" yelled Chaozu. He had frozen time for Freddy.
"I couldn't move," said Freddy.
Freddy vanished in a bright light. Someone else appeared. It was Master Xian, Tien and Chaozu's old teacher and arch-rival of Master Roshi. "Tien Xianan and Chaozu," Tien shouted, "you're both weaklings and you're a disgrace to my school." "No," yelled Tien, "you're not our master." And then Tien swung his sword and decapitated Master Xian. Freddy reappeared again. He changed from human form into a giant version of his glove. In a flash, the claw monster slashed Chaozu right across his chest, killing him. "No, Chaozu!" yelled Tien, just as Goku, Krillin, Balmu, and Master Roshi showed up to help him. Tien screamed in fury as he swung his sword's blade and cut off the claw's thumb. Then he cut off the pinky, then the rest of the fingers. Balmu fired her Uzi and shot the claw full of holes. The claw stopped moving, and then it faded away. The group entered the next room and saw the big pole full of what appeared to be blood. It was boiling like sulfur. Inside of the pool, swimming in the blood, was Freddy.
"Blood is thicker than water," he said, cackling.
Then Freddy extended his arm to several feet, grabbed Tien by the leg, and dragged him into the pool. Tien was bobbing up and down in the blood. He shouted to the others, "It's not blood, it's acid!" And then Tien went under, and his skeleton came up to the surface, and then it slowly dissolved. Next, Freddy stretched out his arm again and grabbed a hold of Krillin and tried to drag him in as well. But Krillin waved his hand and yelled, "Thunder!" And the pool of blood was covered with electric volts. Freddy was electrocuted, so he leaped off the pool. Master Roshi jumped up high into the air. As he flips over Freddy, he punched him in the nose. Then another nightmare creature appeared. It was King Piccolo, the beast that had killed Roshi's fellow students and hurt his sensei, Master Mutaito. "No!" shouted Roshi. "You're dead! It's only a dream!" And then Roshi balled up his fist. His muscles grew larger. His body was tensing. Then Roshi put his fists together and yelled, "Ka! Mei!" And a ball of energy was materialized in his hands. "Ha, Mei!" And an energy ball powered up. "Ha!" And Roshi threw the blast. King Piccolo's figure was blasted, disintegrated. Then Freddy appeared again. Roshi jumped up, grabbed a hold of a pipe, and swung around on it like a gymnastics gold medalist. Then Roshi caught Freddy with a backwards flipping kick in the chest. Freddy flew backwards over a railing. He fell down a lower level, where Balmu was waiting for him. Balmu aimed her Uzi at Freddy and screamed, "Eat lead, you son of a bitch!" And she shot Freddy in the body and face rapidly. Freddy was thrown back from the impact as he felt the pain of the exploding lead pellets in his body and face. Next, Freddy disappeared.
"What? Where'd he go?" cried Balmu.
Then Freddy appeared right underneath of Roshi, burst right through the floor, and he pulled Roshi down into the hole that he made. Then Roshi's blood gusseted out of the hole like an erupting volcano. Balmu screamed when she saw this happen. Next, Freddy leaped out of the hole and said,
"Ha ha! There's no fool like an old fool!"
Then Freddy turned to Balmu, opened his mouth, and tongue shot out of his mouth. The tongue wrapped around Balmu's neck, and then it dragged her body upward, pulling her in a hanging position, and the tongue tightened its grip around Balmu's neck. It snapped her neck like a toothpick. "Balmu, no!" cried Goku. "Balmu, no!" yelled Goku, as Krillin made his move against Freddy. "I'm gonna have you pay for this, you bastard!" yelled Krillin, as he charged Freddy head-on. However, the monks that used to beat up Krillin had appeared. "Hey, it's our punching bag," said one of the monks. Krillin became really mad. He raised his hand and shouted, "Blaze!" The monks were burned almost instantly. Then Krillin turned to Freddy and said, "Now, Freddy, it's your turn." Krillin raised his hand and shouted, "Be gone with you, demon! Be gone!" But nothing happened. It didn't work. Freddy grabbed Krillin by the neck and said, "Sorry, skin-headed kid. I don't believe in fairy tales." And then Freddy drove his claw into Krillin's chest, killing him. Goku saw the whole thing happen. He became furious. His fist started to shake like an earthquake, and his face was twisted with rage. "I'm gonna get you, Freddy, even if I've got to hell with you!" Goku screamed in fury, and without any hopes of winning, charged Freddy head-on. But Freddy was ready for him, and drove his glove right into Goku's heart while laughing. But Goku didn't die. Goku felt adrenaline flowing through his body. "Sorry, Freddy," said Goku in a rotten voice, "but I stopped believing in the boogeyman a long time ago." Then Goku tackled Freddy to the ground and began punching him rapidly. Then Goku threw Freddy face first into a set of steel bars. He had split Freddy open, and Freddy's forehead was bleeding greatly. Goku began to punch away at Freddy's bleed head. The blood was running down Freddy's face, blinding him. Goku loved every minute of it. However, the alarm clock went up, and Goku woke up. By now, Goku had discovered his true dream power. He was a dream lord. He could use any power at any time. Goku vows, "I'm gonna make Grogu pay for this. I will get him no matter what." Chapter 3. Son Goku, the Dream Master. Goku was all alone now. He had to defeat Freddy, but how? Then Goku remembered about Nancy Thompson bringing Freddy's hat out of the dream world. "Of course," said Goku, "if I can't beat him in the dream, but if his hat can come out, then he can come out and he can die. But once he is in the real world, then the only way to kill Freddy is to burn him." Goku spent the whole day getting ready for the final battle. He got his power pole ready. He found a metal baseball bat in the closet. He lit a big fire in the furnace down in the cellar. In the cellar, Goku found an old oil light and a blowtorch. Next, Goku went to a church down the street with a glass bottle. He entered the church, filled the bottle up with holy water. Then, Goku went to a hardware store and collected a can of kerosene, some duct tape, some rope, a pulley, some small hooks, and some wire. Behind the counter was a Harrison and Richard single shot, 20-gauge shotgun with hammer action, and there was a box of yellow 20-gauge Magnum shotgun shells. Goku packed up the stuff and left. Goku went back to the house and set up a few traps. He loaded the shotgun, pulled back the hammer, and he set it up in front of the door. Then, Goku used some ropes and a pulley to make a trap that the gun would go off when the door was opened. Next, Goku used the wire and ropes to make a tripwire. Then Goku set the blow and the bat down in the cellar. You could use them once he got Freddy down there. Then Goku soaked some more rope in the kerosene. Then he duct-taped the rope to the shotgun shell and made a makeshift bomb. Goku put the bomb in the lighter in his pocket, and then he labeled the bottle holy water and put the bottle in his other pocket. Now Goku was ready. Goku set his watch for 30 minutes, and then he said, "Okay, Mr. Freddy Krueger," said Goku, "I'm gonna end your reign of terror myself." Goku used meditation to fall asleep. This was it. Goku wasn't running anymore. Goku found himself in a pristine, clean Chinese room, a.k.a. living quarters in a Chinese ghost story. Tatami mats, white and colored screens, open light airy. Goku steps out tentatively. He scans the room suspiciously, then more calmly. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Goku is hurtled backwards as if kicked by an invisible opponent. "What the?" Freddy's voice is heard.
"A true warrior, Goku-san, needs no eyes."
Goku is kicked again and floored. He stands, now angry. He flails around in the air and is hit again. Freddy's laugh is heard.
"Ninja warriors have calm. Find your balance, Goku."
Goku is hit again and thrown back against a screen which breaks. He stands up slowly. With ultimate concentration, he turns quickly as if with radar. Suddenly, he kicks back at the air and connects. A resounding thump is heard. He progresses forward in a sense of karate moves, all of which connect soundly and quickly with the invisible force. With extra strength, Goku kicks out in the air. He connects hard, and suddenly Freddy's glove appears out of thin air and lands on the floor as if kicked off by Goku's power. A true warrior doesn't need an unfair advantage to win, he says. Goku waved his hands, and two Uzis appeared in his hands. He shot Freddy, and Freddy fell. Freddy leaps to his feet.
Super Freddy!
He transforms into a bulked-up, rippling-muscled Freddy Krueger. Goku fired again. Freddy laughed as bullet bounced off of him.
I'm faster than the bastard maniac, said Freddy. More powerful than a local madman.
Freddy cackled. Goku focused his energy, balled up his fist, which was glowing with a green aura. Kryptonite punch! And Goku slammed his fist into Freddy's body. Freddy was in pain, covered with an aura made out of kryptonite.
No! Screamed Freddy. That's impossible! No!
Goku laughed. You're playing by my rules now! Freddy ran away. Freddy! Goku called out. I'm here! Come and get me, or are you scared? Goku knew Freddy was still nearby. Suddenly, someone came out of the darkness. It was Son Gohan, Goku's dead grandfather. Goku, he said. I'm here. Grandpa, said Goku. You're here. And Goku ran up to Gohan, gave him a hug. But Goku stopped. Wait a minute. You're dead. So, how can you be here? Just then, the image of Gohan ran at Goku with something sharp in his hand. It was Freddy's claw. The Gohan-like thing slashed at Goku, but the knives broke on Goku's skin. No way, yelled Goku. You're not my grandpa. And then Goku snap-kicked the image of Gohan. Then the image of Gohan changed into his real form, Freddy Krueger.
What's wrong with kids today?
He said.
No damn respect.
Broadsword appeared at Goku's hand. Oh yeah? Said Goku. Respect this, you bastard! And Goku drove the sword into Freddy's body. Freddy used his finger needles, and he injected Goku with poison. But Goku didn't even move. He was not affected. Goku took a deep breath, and then spit out the poison into Freddy's face. Let this be a lesson for you, Freddy, said Goku. Say no to drugs. Then Goku bent Freddy's wrists. Backwards, Freddy screamed in pain. See, it worked better when Freddy did that to the junkie. Anyway, Goku leaped into the air and threw shuriken at Freddy. Freddy dodged the shurikens, but in a flash, Goku was holding a flamethrower. Flame on! Goku shot Freddy, and Freddy was covered in flames. Goku laughed and then disappeared while Freddy patted himself, putting out the flames.
Goku, yelled Freddy, show yourself, you little 50 son of a bitch.
The beautiful young lady with long, light brown hair appeared in front of Freddy. It was Nancy Thompson.
Nancy, said Freddy. No, you're dead, I killed you.
Nancy-like thing laughed. Miss me, Freddy? Nancy waved her hand, and Freddy was thrown back with an invisible fort.
Shit, yelled Freddy. When did you learn psychokinesis?
The image of Nancy changed into Goku. Ha 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 ha, gotcha! And then Goku waved his hand and shouted, Blaze! Freddy's body was burning again.
Why, you little! Screamed Freddy as he slashed at Goku.
The knives broke on Goku's skin yet again. And the knives reappeared. Goku looked at his watch. He only had 10 seconds left. Goku grabbed a hold of Freddy and put him in a full Nelson. The alarm went off. Goku woke up in his bed, but Freddy was gone. Where in the hell is he? Goku asked himself. Did the trip kill him? Just then, Freddy appeared behind Goku, grabbed him by the neck, and started to choke Goku.
You little bastard! Now I'm really mad! You made a fool out of me for the very last time!
Goku reached for his bottle of holy water. Don't count on it, old man. Goku threw the bottle into Freddy's face. The glass broke into Freddy's eyes. His eye was burning as his whole body began to light up. Goku ran out of the bedroom, closed the door, and set up the gun trap. All right, Krauger, yelled Goku. Come and get me if you can. Goku ran down the stairs. Freddy pulled the door open and the gun went off. It had blasted a hole in Freddy's body. Freddy stumbled and fell down the stairs to Goku. "Come on, Q-Ball," Goku taunts. "Let's dance."
"That's it," Freddy screamed in rage. "I'm gonna split you in half."
Then Freddy changed at Goku, but he tripped over the wire. Goku shouts, "Jaken!" And he charged at Freddy, "Rock!" Goku punches Freddy in the nose. "Scissors!" Goku pokes Freddy in the eyes. "Paper!" Goku slapped Freddy hard. Freddy chases Goku down to the cellar just as Goku used the lighter to light the blowtorch. "No!" screamed Freddy. "No, not that! No!" "We're gonna have a hot time tonight," says Goku as he pulls the trigger, making puns after his friends are dead. Freddy was burning up. Goku has put the lighter back in his pocket and dropped the blowtorch. Goku put his wrists together and cried, "Kamehameha!" And Goku shot a ball of energy at Freddy. The Kamehameha wave hit Freddy in the body and knocked him back into a dark corner. Only Freddy's bones were remaining. Goku picked up the blowtorch just as the bones joined together. Now Freddy was in skeleton form. Freddy swung his claw, knocked the blowtorch out of Goku's hands. Goku reached for his power pole, and he whacked Freddy in the head. Then Goku yelled, "Power pole extend!" And the pole lengthened and hit Freddy in the ribs. Freddy finally knocked the power pole out of Goku's hands. Then he slashed Goku across the chest. Goku fell down in front of the burning furnace, and Freddy was ready to attack, laughing. "All right," said Goku enraged. "I had enough of you."
"Oh yeah," said Freddy. "What are you going to do about it, you little punk? I'm immortal. I will be here forever. I will rule the world."
"Are you finished?" said Goku. "I'm sick of your speeches. I'm sick of you. This time you won't come back." Goku reached in for the metal bat. Freddy slashed at Goku again, but Goku blocked the attack with the bat. "Buckle up, you bonehead," screamed Goku, "because you're going on a trip 6 feet under." Goku swung the bat at Freddy's right arm, and Claw went flying off and into the furnace. "Heads up, you freak!" And Goku knocked Freddy's skull into the flames, then the rest of the bones. There was a bright light coming from Freddy's bones. It was Bulma, and then Yamcha, and then the others. They had been saved. I hope they got Bulma, though. Suddenly, Freddy's bones tried to get out of the furnace. Goku used the lighter to light his homemade bomb. Then he planted it right into Freddy's breastbone. "Sweet dreams, Freddy!" The bomb exploded, and Freddy's bones were turned to dust. Ghosts began to come out of the furnace. They were the souls that Freddy had stolen. Now they were free. The next morning, the group packed their stuff and left Springwood for God. But is this really the end of Freddy Krueger?
The end?
Yes, I believe that would actually be the end of Freddy Krueger. Not to be confused with Freddy Krueger, who is the man who haunts your nightmares, Freddy Krueger is the man who stalks the night, because he stalks the shelves at the Krogers. What do you want? It's Halloween. It's time for bad puns. Any rate, we did have a hauntingly good time here at Pretentious Internet Theater, as the fall of Pitt continues. Any rate, leave me some treats at my email at thepittpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, remember, there is much drama on the internet, but only the best makes pretentious internet theater. Good night. The pleasure is all yours. 'Cause it's Halloween. It's probably why.